really take a look at everything that God has created, how marvelous that is, how great it is, no one can prove that there is evolution. It's too vast. It couldn't have happened. Take a look at our own bodies. Every little intricate part of our bodies all work together to make this one body work, make this one body go. I know Mrs. Ellis, she probably knows more about this than we do, of all the different parts of the body, and how fantastic each part works. How marvelous God's creation is. He says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, how vast that is, and what a wonderful master plan that God has planned for us mere humans later on. Let's go back to the verse 1 there. How excellent is your name? The name of God and the glory of God are alternate ways of describing who God is. Now, hold your finger, if you will, in Psalms 8, or put a marker in there, because we're going to be coming back to it, and let's turn to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3, and we will read verses 13, 14, and 15. That's Exodus 3, 13, 14, and 15. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'Well, what is his name?' What shall I say to them?" is what he is asking God there. Then in verse 14, "And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" Then in verse 15, "Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" Now, we're talking about a spirit being, our Father, our God, that created everything. And this is a memorial to all generations. Why? Because he is everlasting. He is the eternal. Always has lived, always will. And all the glory in our lives should be focused on our Father, our God in heaven. And to make it just a little bit clearer, our Father, God, said, "I am who I am." The one who spoke to Moses declared himself to be the eternal one. The one who lives forever. He was uncaused. He was not created by anyone else for any reason. He is totally independent. He is the eternal one. Our Father God is the one who always was, always will be, who is all powerful. Created the heavens, created us by command, by fiat. Just by speaking the words, his power goes out. Only the Creator of all things can call himself the I Am in the absolute sense. All other creatures are in debt to him for their very existence, which includes me and you, all humans. Now let's turn back to Psalms 8. And we'll start reading there in verse 4. Psalms 8, we'll start in verse 4, where he is saying, "What is man?" You know, David here is asking the question here in verse 4. "What, you are mindful of him, or for that matter, even care about man?" David was thinking of humans living their lives and dying just like in the animals or the birds of the air. You know, what is man that you are even mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and with honor. You know, David has all these questions that he is asking here, that he is wanting to know about. Some of the other questions that we think about on ourselves, you know, of what God is talking about here. You know, and I am sure that David was asking himself one of the most popular questions of his day and of our day, and is what David was wondering about, is the subject of, why was I born? You know, I think each and every one of us probably at one time or another, you know, kind of daydreamed off and thought about that as well, too. You know, why was I born? Or what is the, why is the reason that I'm living? Why am I alive? You know, living and dying, is that all there is? We have all, at one time or another in our lives, have thought that or asked ourselves that question. And as we study the Bible, and as we learn about God's plan of salvation for all humans, and we know we can see God's plan of salvation as we read in Leviticus 23, and we read about what each of God's holy days represent and what they mean, what the meaning is behind each and every one, it maps out a complete picture of God's plan of salvation for all humans. And we need to be studying about that. That's also how we gain faith. We gain faith, which is trust and understanding, as we study the Bible and as we learn. We know that you know why we were born and why we are living today and what are we to accomplish in this life. Our short physical life is at this time, it's a testing. We are all being tested. God wants to know our hearts. He looks at our hearts. We don't have to even speak it. He can look at our hearts and knows how we feel. And so, you know, in this short time that we're living, it's a time of testing. God wants to know what we're made of. He wants to know if He can trust us to become spirit beings and live with Him in Christ in the spirit realm. This physical life is just a testing period. The real living is going to be later on when God changes us into a spirit being, because He's expanding His family. He is, from every generation, He calls out people to know His truth, calls out for us to be able to choose to allow Him to live inside us and to groom us so that we can be changed and be in the spirit family and live forever. I mean, what a wonderful offer that He has offered each and every one of us. How great that is. He's not calling everybody at the same time. And we don't have to worry about, you know, old Aunt so-and-so or your brother or your sister or your wife or your husband who does not understand. God the Father does the calling. And then Jesus Christ works through us to get us ready and to teach us. So God is not calling everybody right now. He calls you from each generation. He is going to have a small group to start with. There is a major job ahead for all of those who are called and understand. And we are being prepared to be priests and teachers. We are going to be in a marvelous work during the millennium period, the thousand-year period. What a fantastic job that's going to be, and then beyond. So this little life that we're living in right now really is just a testing period, a time for us. And, you know, it's up to us to choose to allow God to work in through us and so that we can be a part of the body of Christ. In doing so, we must learn to grow in the character of God. And what is God? Well, God's character is love. It's totally different from our physical form. Our physical form is take care of number one. Reach and grab and get yours first. We need to be changing our character to be like God's, which is concern, outgoing concern for others. We have learned that over the years. And we can quickly check ourselves by reading Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That is the part about the fruits of the Spirit, which actually shows the character of God. And is what we can do. We can take a look at that. You can type it out and keep it where you can find it every day. And you can check your progress every day. And say, you know, am I reflecting each of the fruits of the Spirit? Am I changing? Have I made any progress? Or am I going backwards? Am I allowing the flesh to take over? We can test ourselves. There is a gauge there that shows us exactly where we are, and if we are actually doing better. Let's turn to Galatians 5, if you will. Galatians 5. I won't read all those in 5:22 and 23, but let's read verses 24 through 26. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We are to be changing from the desires of the flesh, which, you know, is to get and take for yourself. We have to do a complete 360 here, or 180. We have to turn completely around and go the opposite direction with our desires and passions, to give as opposed to getting. And then verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Why, there's a whole lot right there. To be conceited, to think that you're something that you're probably not, or that we're not. We sometimes in this physical form think higher of ourselves than we should, which I'll get into a little bit more here in the sermon. Or provoking one another. You know, wanting to cause dissension or arguments with another person. It's useless. We have enough to worry about and think about of our own selves, much less get into anyone else's sphere. Envying one another. That's one of the base things of this human nature that we live in is jealousies. Jealousies of one another, envying one another, or, you know, I wish I was doing that, or I wish I could do this. We are to be living in peace. And we can do that if we are thinking of the character of our Father, our God in heaven, which is love. And we need to give Him all of the glory and all of the honor for being who He is and what He is, who has created us. We are to truly live our lives without being conceited or provoking one another or envying one another. Let's read on in Galatians 6. Starting in verse 1, Galatians 6. Let's read on a little bit there. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You know, we need to do it in gentleness if we're helping someone else to overcome a problem that they have. We need to kind of put ourselves in their shoes and give them mercy, as we would like to have mercy as well too. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Each of us has enough load to bear of our own than to be trying to envy someone else. Verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. It'll all come to something bad, to nothing, to corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. I mean, what a switch. You wouldn't want to trade everlasting life off to just something that's going to be corrupt and turn back to the earth anyway. Verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Then in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Those that we know that are trying their best to overcome their sins. Those who are trying to live their life and change their life are doing their part by studying God's Word and in seeking the will of God. Let's help them along all that we can, because we know that we are all trying to do the same thing. And let us keep in mind, it's God's Holy Spirit living in us that makes it possible for the changes in our life. We can't do it on our own. Human nature is not built that way. Human nature is built to look out for number one, take care of self. We have to have God's Holy Spirit living in us to change our lives. So how do we get God's Holy Spirit? Well, first we have to come to realization that there is God. We have to come to realization that He has laws that He wants us to keep. And then we have to come to the realization that we need to repent of our sins, to turn around, go the other way, not sin anymore, but to live according to God's laws and the life that God wants us to live. And then we have to make that decision. I want to be baptized. I want all of my past sins forgiven. You have to come to that realization. And that is a commitment. So you become baptized, you go in the water, you come up, all of your past sins are forgiven, and then you have one of God's ministers to lay hands on you and impart God's Holy Spirit to you. That's how you receive God's Holy Spirit to be working in you and give you the power that you need to keep on changing and overcoming every day. Now, all after you're baptized, and for the rest of your life, everybody sins every day. But we are to repent daily. And we have God's Holy Spirit working in and through us to help us to do that. The key is we made the choice to let God make the changes in us. And we must choose rightly every day as we live and walk in our lives. Let's give the praise and the glory to God the Father. This is part of His plan, part of His calling for us, but it's still our choice. We have to make these choices in our life daily to continue to allow God to work in and through us. Our part is choosing rightly, again, to allow God to work in us. You know, let's not take any glory for anything that we accomplish or any ground that we think that we are making. It's all the glory goes to God, who is making it all possible. Now let's go back again to Psalms 8. Keep your finger in there. Psalms 8. Let's read verses 5 and 6 there. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6. You have made him to have dominion, that means rulership, over the works of your hands. You know, we are called as human beings to have rulership over the creation here on earth that God has made. God created male and female in His own image. And, you know, just think how wonderful God is. We stand at the top of His creation. We are at the top of everything that God has created. Why? Because we are created in His image. We know that. We know that. God's plan is to expand His spiritual family. Again, we are living in this temporary flesh that we're living in right now, and it's a time of testing, a time of learning, a time of growing, a time of giving God the glory for later on when we are changed to spirit beings and live in His family forever and ever. I mean, how wonderful that is. So why are we living in this physical body that wears out and dies? Again, we are here to learn. The Bible tells us many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because we have a choice. We have a choice in this life. We can say, well, you know, I really like to go down here to the bar on Friday night. They got good music down there, and the hot dogs are good or whatever. You know, but, you know, it's our choice to do God's will. Many are called, but few are chosen. We have to choose to allow God to work in and through us. Again, this life is full of tests to see if we are choosing to obey God or reject God. It's our choice. It's our choice. God wants to see what's in our heart, He wants to pick out who is going to be the bride of Christ. Who is going to be at that wedding? Who is going to be changed into that spirit being? Are we going to choose God or are we going to reject God? God knows our heart, and He knows if we are choosing rightly and taking advantage of the fantastic offer of eternal life. How great that is. Again, we are created a little lower than the angels, and we are to rule over God's creation, and we are to praise God for giving us the ability to take charge of all that our Father has provided without boasting about ourselves. You know, it's human nature to say, hey, look at me. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. Look at me is what human nature wants to say in us. But we are to take advantage of what God has provided without boasting about ourselves. Take mind off self, put it on others. As we read on, let's go on in Psalms 9 there, verses 1 and 2. You won't even have to turn the page in my Bible, maybe in yours you will. Psalms 9, verse 1. David is saying, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all of your marvelous works. Verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. David got the message. He knows that God is real. He knows how wonderful and marvelous and glorious our Father in heaven is. And then down, let's drop down to verses 16 and 17 in chapter 9 there. The Lord is known by the judgment He executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. What is hell? Hell is the grave. We all came from the dust of the ground. We were all going to go back to that. But the wicked will go right back to the dirt where they came. And all the nations that forget God, they will be right along. Those that were enlightened, all these nations, tribes, or whoever they were, that forget God. They once knew what God's laws are and what God is about, and they forget God. They will also go back to the grave. David tells what will become of those who are led by Satan, the wicked. Verse 19 and 20. Let's go to verse 19 and 20. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, flesh and blood. Can't do anything beyond that. We need to come to that realization, each and every one of us. He has enlightened the babes and the infants. That's what we are. We are the babes and the infants. And God will make us strong if we choose to allow Him to do it in us. David is asking God to put fear in the nation so that they will be put in their place and know that they are but men. You know, David knew firsthand the wickedness of the falling of all humanity. He knew firsthand. He was part of it, just like each and every one of us was. We have all sinned. David certainly did, and he could see that, and he knew that the human nature is in rebellion against God. Human nature says, take care of self. No matter what you want and all your heart's desires, all the fleshly things or whatever, you know, that's what human nature is, and it's in rebellion against God. God has laws about how we should live. David knew that. People today are following Satan, but God is allowing it. God is allowing that to happen. It's part of His plan. God wants to show the entire world how horrible it is to be living under Satan's rule. Satan is the ruler of this earth right now. And God is allowing it to happen for that purpose, to show humans just how bad it is. Because we have read the end of the book. We know what happens to Satan and his demons and all that they're about. We know what's going to happen and what God has planned for us. He has hope for us. there's going to be some big changes made. Here's an example of someone who took praise and glory for himself, and he knew better, but he gave it to, he did not give it to God as he should have. And this is a very short account about Herod. So let's turn to Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and we'll read verses 20 through 23. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus the king, chamberlain, their friend, they asked for peace because the country was supplied with food by the king's country. In 21 there, so on a set day, Herod arrayed himself in all of his royal apparel, you know, all of his garments there, and he sat on his throne, and he gave a speech to them. Oh, you know, he was being so elegant there. And all of the people were shouting, "The voice of a little g god, not of man." They were shouting, and they were making him into this little g god because they were being supplied with food. And here's the worst part about it is, though, is that Herod accepted it. He did not give the glory to God. He could have said, you know, hey, you know, all this came from our Father, our God in heaven, and he knew better, and he did not do that. He took the glory for himself. And then in verse 23, then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. I mean, what an example there of somebody that didn't give God the glory. These are lessons for us today to keep in mind the wonderful works and the glory of our Creator God. So what should we be doing? Well, many things, of course. We should be walking in the Spirit, living our lives in obedience and praise to God every day. Every waking moment, be in contact with God, have that relationship with Him. Pray without ceasing as you go through your day. Praising God and thanking God for bringing you through the streets without getting run over, or doing your job, or just being alive. Praise God, be thankful to God always. We should be walking in the Spirit and living our lives that way. We are becoming a child of God. That's what we are becoming. And the only constant way to overcome the sinful desires of human nature is to live step by step in the power of God's Holy Spirit as He works through us. We are to live by faith. That's complete trust. Live by faith, trusting God, knowing that our all-powerful Father created us and everything that there is and makes everything possible. He sustains us. He protects us. He comforts us. He gives to us. And we don't want to reject any of that. We saw what happened to Herod there. He was trying to accept the glory. Give God the glory. And if we do, it assures us absolute victory over our human nature. We can overcome all of it. Over in Romans 12, we are to become a living sacrifice. Let's turn over there. We're not very far from it. Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." That's just our reasonable service. You know, we should be automatically doing that. Presenting our body as a living sacrifice for God to do with according to His will. In verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renew our minds daily with Bible study, with prayers to God, and asking God to renew our minds and to help us through the power of His Holy Spirit living in us. When God's Holy Spirit comes in us, we are His temple. He is living in us. You know, some people think, well, you know, I'm just alone here. No, you're not. None of us are. God is reading our heart constantly. He knows us inside and out. And how should we be serving God? We need to ask that question. Well, we are to be serving God with our whole heart and with the spiritual gifts that God gives each of us. There in Romans 12, let's start in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You know, be serious. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, measure of trust that He has put into us. Faith is a gift from God. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. No, they don't. Ask any doctor, ask any nurse, ask Mrs. Ellis. All of the parts of the body, they do different functions, but they do it in harmony. Verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We're all part of each other. We're in the body of Christ. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then it says, let us use them. We are to use the gifts that God gives us. We're not to sit on them or to put them in a box somewhere. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, into what we know. Verse 7, or ministry, let us use it in our ministry to teach in teaching. He who exhorts or comforts others in exhortation, he who gives, who has the wherewithal to give and to help others with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. You know, and we are to be living like a Christian. Let's go on and read a little bit here about living like a Christian. Verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Not yourself, but to one another. Not lagging in diligence. You know, be diligent about what you're doing. Be fervent in spirit. Be set. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. That's what Kevin and Chuck and Mr. Wilson Keys were doing, helping out Ashley there. I was glad to hear that. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Giving to hospitality, being friendly to each and every one, and being there to help. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. If someone is hurting, feel for them. Weep with them. Help them. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. It's talking about this life here, of course, but associate with the humble, those who are needy, those who need comfort, those who need help, those who need encouragement. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Don't have strife. Pat has an aunt that lives over in East Tennessee. Aunt Golda is her name. Her last name is Jones. She's no relation to me, but that's her last name. She is it 89 years old, Pat? She's 89 years old. And every time I see her, and all the time that I have known her, She seeks peace with everyone. She is still a quite rich lady. Her husband, many years ago, he started an automobile junkyard. And he made millions. Yeah, he died back in 1991. She doesn't have to want for anything. She has all kinds of things. But some man came to her one day, and he says, you know, he says, I'd like to buy that junkyard from you, you know, since you're not operating it fully yourself, you know, since your husband died. And so on a handshake, she allowed the guy to take over the junkyard, and he stole it from her. You know what? She has peace in her heart for him. She does not hold it against him. She says, you know, that's the way it was supposed to be. That's the way it worked out. And she says, he stole it from me, and she feels sorry for him for stealing it. But, you know, she has no confrontation in her heart. We are to live peaceably with all men. That's exactly what we are supposed to be doing. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Aunt Golda is not in God's church, but she believes that. I've learned a lot of things from Aunt Golda just by watching her, listening to her. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Then in verse 21, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's living like a Christian. That's living like a Christian. Thinking of others more than yourself. Being obedient to God, what God wants us to do, to live in His character. We have heard this before, that the human body is wonderfully made and is in unity with all of its parts having each function. And so does the body of Christ. We need to be switching our minds to be thinking not of self, but to think of the body of Christ, which we are part of. Christ and His church is a unified body. Under the headship of Christ, Christ is the head of the church. It's His church. For each member is put in the body, in the church, to do different functions, just as our physical bodies. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. If I can get my pages into it as well, too. They get sticky after a while. 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll... let's see here where we're at. Romans. We'll get into it here in just a second. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. And it says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Just as He pleased, He has put the members in the body. So we're not supposed to be jealous or envious of another's position. It's God Himself that puts those into the body just as He pleases. Each individual believer has a vital role assigned by God Himself. We do not self-impose ourselves into doing something. God Himself does it. That is why we should neither boast in what we do, nor think too little of ourselves as well. We're to be neutral there. Let God do the leading. Let God do the guiding. He will lead us and He will guide us. Each one of us is important to God and has a mission to accomplish. We're only alive because God allows us to be alive, because we have a mission to accomplish. That's why we're in this life. Again, God gives us the spiritual gifts. And He gives us the spiritual gifts for the profit of all. Rather than being envious of other people's position, as I just mentioned, or gifts, thinking that, I'd rather have the gifts of this person or that person, we are to have a humble attitude and give of ourselves to others. Do the part that God called us to do. You know, if it's cleaning the toilets in the bathroom, clean them good. Do the part that we're supposed to be doing. Or speaking, try our best to do that. Whenever any part of the body has a need, we should respond and we should serve and help that part of the body. We are to love and care for one another. Again, every part of the body is important to God and to us. We are part of that body. And just to reinforce that point, you don't have to turn there, but in James 17, here's what it says. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Every blessing that each one of us has, which includes our next breath, comes from God. It is a wonderful, perfect blessing that God is giving us. Again, we serve with our gifts. We show our gifts by not boasting or showing off what we can do, but by letting the light of Christ shine through us. Give God the credit. Give Him the glory. Not taking on any of it ourselves like Herod did. Don't have to turn there, but in Mark 9, verses 33 through 35, Christ and His disciples were traveling from Capernaum, I believe it was, and as they were walking on the road there, some of the disciples were talking and kind of arguing amongst themselves, and they were saying, which one of us is the greatest? You know, you've got this gift and I've got this gift. Well, I think my gift is better than your gift. And they were arguing about who will be the greatest, because just before that, Christ told them that He was going to be crucified. And on the third day, He would rise. And so they were thinking ahead, hey, who's going to be in charge? Am I going to be in charge? Or is somebody else going to be in charge? They were arguing about the gifts that God gave them. And Jesus asked them, well, you know, what were you talking about on the road there? And they were kind of silent about it. But Christ went ahead and said, you know, hey, if you don't become like a child and be humble, then you won't be the head of anything. You know, you have to be humble, and you have to be willing to serve others. If you want to be first, be a servant. Serve others. We are to reflect the character of God in humility, giving all of the glory to God who makes all things possible. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10, back a few pages. 2 Corinthians 10, and let's read verses 12 through 18. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Well, I'm in 1 Corinthians. Hold on. Let me get into 2 Corinthians here. I often do that, going too fast. 2 Corinthians 10, and we'll read verses 12 through 18. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. You know, those who praise themselves, you know, we're not to class ourselves with them. Those who are commending themselves. You know, hey, look at me. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Pretty blunt words right there. Verse 13. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. You know, what gifts that God gave us, we're to work within that sphere. A sphere which especially includes you. Verse 14. For we are not extending ourselves beyond our sphere, thus not reaching you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Verse 15. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in another man's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Give all of the glory to God. For not he who commends himself is approved. You know, if you are boasting about yourself and looking for that approval from other people, It says here, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. You know, Jesus Christ did healings and served many people. And he told me, he says, don't tell anybody else. Why? Because he wanted to give all the glory to God. Yes, there were people following and was constantly bringing their families there to be healed. And, you know, that was a tiresome job, no doubt, for any human. But is what he was doing, he said, don't tell anybody else because he wants to give all the glory and the thanks to God for doing the healing. There is a time, though, that we are to praise others. And when is that time? When they are not seeking praise. There is a time that we are to praise others for some of the wonderful things that they are doing in the church. But we, you know, when they are not seeking the praise, that's the time that we are to be praising them and thanking them for the service that they're doing. Because it's encouragement. You know, you did this without asking for any praise, and we thank you for that. We thank you for being a good servant to God and doing these things that you are doing. Let's turn to Proverbs quickly here. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Verse 2, let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Don't boast about yourself. Don't be seeking praise. If someone wants to give you praise about something, just say thank you and pray that you can even do more things to serve the brethren and humanity as far as that goes. God is glorified by the fruit we bear. And how do we know if we are making progress? Again, compare yourself to the fruits of the Spirit and the Beatitudes. Get into both of those, and then you can start looking at yourself and evaluating yourself and knowing, am I reflecting the character of God? Give God the credit. Give God the glory. But every day, remember that it's God's Holy Spirit living inside you that bears the fruit. Human nature by itself can't do it. Don't want to do it. It's God's Holy Spirit working in and through us. We are to keep choosing daily to allow God to work through us. Until the day we die, we have to keep making that right choice to allow God to work in and through us. In closing, remember, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ and instruments of God. God is working in and through us, and we are His instruments. Yield to God. Yield to His will. Yield to what He is doing in and through us. Serve Him in humility, not seeking praise from anyone. Like I said, there is a time to praise others. Do that. Do not praise yourself or ask for any praise for yourself. Always giving thanks to God and giving all of the glory to God. It's always good to see you up here. We'll see y'all later.